You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome, citizens, to this day in history with Benjamin J. Goldson.
Yes, this day in history, going back to 1955. For the official declaration of the polio vaccine developed by Dr. Jonas Salk. And this was sort of a massive breakthrough for public health. Polio has been this sort of terrible disease, which really just like ruined people for the rest of their lives and necessitated sort of mass sprayings of neighborhoods with all sorts of horrible chemicals like DDT.
With the possibility of a grave infantile paralysis epidemic, San Antonio health authorities attacked germ carriers on a citywide front. With war-discovered DDT in special sprayers, sections of the city are literally fogged with the insecticide in the fight to stop the spread of polio. Every suspected spot is sprayed. The drastic cleanup is ordered as polio and allied diseases show alarming increase. Even streams come in for disinfecting, and in the parks, precautions are taken to prevent gatherings of youngsters. Literally tons of DDT are used on this dread disease that attacks our young. Again, war, destructive and terrible, contributes one of its discoveries to save life.
Yes, and thankfully for people back in the day, they didn't have to put up with too much DDT in their ecosystems, thanks to the development of the polio vaccine on this day in history by Dr. Jonas Salk.
Dr. Jonas Salk, discoverer of the first successful vaccine against infantile paralysis, gives the first official reports to a waiting world at the University of Michigan. Dr. Salk's own child was one of the 2 million children involved in tests of his vaccine. Tests which have ended for all time the threat of one of the world's most vicious diseases. Doctors Francis and O'Connor have been close collaborators in the vaccine's development. Dr. Francis personally carried out the extensive experiments with the help of Canadian laboratories, and it will be developed further.
Now, the thing to remember is that this is a continuous process. And all that we can say is that the experience as acquired a year ago was as reported today. The experience with a test of a vaccine that could be made today is likely to be considerably better.
So the news is spread. Children and adults soon can be vaccinated against polio. No news has ever been more gratefully received.
And despite that sort of glowing review by that newsreel there, there was a lot of hostility towards the polio vaccine, which then sort of subsided quite a bit. And then it sort of reemerged now, as I'm sure we're all aware, with this sort of anti-vax movement. Whereas today, the anti-vax is more of almost coming from like can come from a more sort of greeny, you know, let's not trust Big Pharma, let's not put all this stuff in our body. Back in the 1950s, it was very much this sort of Christian conservative backlash to, I think, the secular state more broadly, and vaccinations were just, if you pardon the pun, the tip of the spear for that, because it was quite an intrusive thing to have done to you, especially to a kid, and it's quite, especially back in the day, these like huge needles that really sort of took a chunk out of your arm. So it would be quite a sort of terrifying thing, and it was one of these sort of three intrusions of the secular state more directly that were then used by these sort of Christian conservatives who are more hostile to it, forcing the government to make PSAs to get people to get their shots.
This is polio. This is the mark of polio on the human hand. The human hand, that remarkable mechanism which helps set us above the animal. Without power in our hands, we are almost helpless. This is polio, and it is something for you to remember. Polio is not over. Polio is not over for this patient. Polio is not over for thousands. Polio is not over for you. This is a full-grown man after polio. These are his legs, his knees, his hips, his hands. He can move his fingers a little. He can move his head. and that's all. The rest of him is a powerless shell. Remember these pictures, for in spite of the soft vaccine, polio is not over. In the summer of 1955, polio again struck hard across the nation. Deserted beaches became a sign of the crippler's presence. No swimmers or boaters where crowds would normally be in summertime. A children's playground with not a child in sight. With special fury, polio struck at Massachusetts and Wisconsin. And in their fear of it, people stayed at home. Children were not allowed to leave their own yards. In Wisconsin, theaters closed. In Massachusetts, people even feared to go to shopping centers, leaving a few lonely cars where normally there would be hundreds. It was as though people had shut themselves up in their houses, trying to hide from an unseen and deadly enemy, not daring even to venture upon the streets.
And these PSAs were partly necessary because initially, like I think any new science, there's always going to be a few sort of rough edges that needed to be smoothed out. And with the Salk vaccine, there were some issues, but generally it proved very popular and it's remained sort of one of the greatest sort of public health breakthroughs, especially because Salk famously never sought to patent the vaccine. He just said, well, I made it. I think he was employed by some sort of government research agency at the time. So it was also part of this sort of New Deal liberalism. Under FDR famously had polio and he was very supportive of the vaccine cure. So it was sort of seen as a triumph, not only of medical science, but the sort of liberal interventionist state more generally.
To a house in Stoke Pogis, once the home of music hall star Vesta Tilley, Glaxo chairman Sir Harry Jeffcott welcomes the Minister of Health, Mr. Dennis Vosper. The minister has come to inspect the production of Polivarin, British anti-polio vaccine, which has already given 200,000 children a powerful defense against this dreadful disease. This department produces the liquid medium in which the culture is to be prepared. Tissue of monkey kidneys is cut up to receive the virus. There are three types of polio virus. A strain of each is prepared separately. The blending will come later to make a vaccine which will give protection against all three forms. 100% cleanliness and the most rigid precautions are enforced, for the infected culture is deadly at this stage. An incubator room brings the culture to maturity. This process takes 4 days, during which the culture is kept in motion. The final vaccine, of course, contains only dead virus. Formalin treatment will kill off all live virus, and a foolproof system of checking and double-checking will ensure that it has done so. This British vaccine is a modification of the Salk vaccine, which has had such great success in the United States. Britain has learned from America's mistakes and has taken stringent measures to ensure that there will be no repetition of the American accident in which a faultily tested batch caused a local outbreak of the very disease it was intended to prevent. It will not happen here. When the three different strains of vaccine are ready, they are blended in the right proportions to give maximum immunity. There's enough vaccine to give 100,000 anti-polio inoculations in each of these great vessels. And the contents of each vessel is worth £20,000. A lot of money, but a small price for safeguarding the future of 100,000 children.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.